Hey there, Agile ambassadors to the United Nations of Agile, and welcome to another episode of Agile Bytes, the podcast sponsored by Integrity Inspired Solutions, where we build software in an agile manner day in and day out. Today, I want to do something a little different. This is going to be episode 82 of the podcast, I believe, which means we've almost been going a year, a little over a year and a half. And so I kind of want to talk about what the intent of the podcast was when we began and some things I'm thinking about in terms of the future of this podcast. So it might be a little shorter. If you came listening for something that will revolutionize your agile practice, I doubt you will hear it in this episode. But if you've been interested in the podcast and think you might be interested in the future, then stick around and we'll talk about what's going to go on with it. Before I get into that, there is one thing that I would like to address publicly. If you have been a listener of the podcast, then you might remember the last episode where I talked about a marketing piece by Rally Software and enumerated the different things about it that I thought were problematic. Well, a longtime fan and listener of the podcast, Richard Sadusky, is quite familiar with that ebook that I was talking about. And there were a couple of points where he brought it to my attention and said, Phil, I'm not sure you're totally right about this. And I just want to publicly acknowledge those points because I think he's correct. And I just want to have said that. So one of them was about the 250% thing. And Richard pointed out, rightly so, that they were not comparing full Scrum and lightweight Scrum to get that figure. They were comparing what they called full Scrum against nothing. And the nothing group, which was a very small sample size, did have a lot more defects than the quote unquote full Scrum group. And it was probably a 250% ratio from what I could see. So I was just wrong. I was just wrong about that. I had them going against the wrong group. The other thing was when we were talking about defect density, he pointed out that defect density in the book is probably meant to be defects over a time period divided by man hours in that time period, not necessarily man hours spent fixing the bugs. Now, the actual text of the ebook doesn't say, it just says defects over man hours. But I do think Richard's interpretation is probably more likely. It makes a lot more sense. And so if that is what was intended, then my point about the calculation of defect density was also wrong. And so I want to point that out. At the same time, I still want to note that the graph that they used just showed number of defects. If that number was defect density, then teams are unleashing tons of defects per iteration into their code. And I find it a little hard to believe it's that many, but maybe it is. And the second thing is, I still don't think, even with that definition of defect density, that that is a good metric because, again, we are ignoring the impact of the defects. It's just number of defects over time, which may be useful information. But again, three defects that I can fix in 5 minutes are very, very different than one defect that takes me a week to fix. So again, the defect density is not really telling you what you need to know if you are trying to find a definition of quality. So I still stand by the principles behind those criticisms, but on those specific points, I think I was probably just wrong. And so I apologize to Rally for any misinterpretations there. And thank you to Richard for pointing those things out. Now let's talk about the podcast. When I started this podcast, it was kind of a passion project. I know a lot of companies start podcasts as kind of a lead generator. You know, they have guests on who are their prospective clients to talk about different topics. And they do that because, well, their clients probably do have valuable things to say about that, but ultimately the point is so the company and the prospective client get to talking and maybe they end up doing business together down the road. I did not start this podcast for that reason, obviously. It was more of a passion project, and that passion was trying to help agile practitioners and professionals with areas and topics that I think are widely misunderstood or that people just generally struggle with. Right. So some of our earlier episodes, if you go back to those, are things like how to do a good retrospective, how to do good user stories, those kinds of things that I think are perennial issues that people who are new to the field, or maybe they're not that new to the field, but have just kind of struggled with how to do it well. It was meant to be episodes to help those people out, to specifically address that, because there's just not a lot of material aimed at that particular audience. And I have a real passion for that. I have a real passion for whether you're a Scrum Master or a project manager or an Agile coach or just somebody on an Agile team trying to do things a little better, I have a real passion for people who are in those positions and maybe don't really know quite what to do. Or, you know, they know they're supposed to have a stand up and they were taught this special format and you're doing the format, but, you know, it just doesn't seem to be very valuable. I really wanted to help those people and make your practice of Agile more valuable, more fruitful, and hopefully more enjoyable. Because most of that crowd has been serviced by, I don't know how to say it, not predators exactly, but they've been serviced by people who don't really have an interest in correcting their misunderstandings. Okay. For example, if someone comes to you and says, hey, if we don't get a story done by the end of a sprint, say we only get it halfway done, when we're calculating velocity, should we put half the story points in one sprint and the other half in the next sprint, or should we put them all in the sprint where it's completed? When someone asks that question, they are already under a few different misconceptions that really need to be discussed and unwound. And the right way to help that person is not to say you should put them in the next sprint. The right way to help that person is to say, okay, before we get into this issue, let's take a look at what we're even trying to accomplish with story points, if they're even a good way to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish, how this story ended up being split across your sprints, and ultimately, is this question even a cogent question at that point? Because it isn't. Once the person understands what they need to understand, they're not going to ask questions like that. They're going to see that that's a weird question. You know, it's kind of like a question like, I know all squirrels have jobs, but do all of them drive cars? Like, you don't. The way to help that person is not to answer the question. The way to help that person is to untangle the misconceptions. Squirrels do not have jobs and they do not drive cars. So the question isn't really that good. But most people who have helped that category of people answer the questions. They don't dig into why these misunderstandings exist. They don't correct the misconceptions or clarify the underlying issues so that these questions kind of melt away. Instead, they treat the questions like the questions are real, practical questions that everyone needs to wrestle with, and they answer it. And I would argue that that is not productive, and it is not helpful, actually, to people who are really struggling. It's sort of like you're throwing a starving dog a rubber steak. You know, yeah, you gave them an answer. Yeah, you gave them something to do, but they're still just as messed up as they were when they came to you. And I think there are a lot of people operating in that space. So I wanted to do something different. I wanted to take these different topics that people often ask questions about or often struggle with. And instead of answering these weird, detailed questions that granted are everyday questions that people have, I wanted to dig back into what are these things? What are they trying to accomplish? What is the goal of these things to begin with? Is it even appropriate for your context? Because once you know these things, once you know sort of the intention and value and philosophies and context for these different practices, then it kind of works itself out in a lot of ways. Then I can give you, say, an example of what I like to do, and you can either do that or not. But now you know how to make those things good. Now you know what good looks like. And if your presuppositions are realigned, then you're going to do much better than if I was just like, oh, people aren't getting a lot of value out of your retrospectives. Well, here, why don't you dress up like superheroes and see how that goes? You know, that's why I don't do stuff like that, because I really think that the core of those problems is not that you lack answers to your questions. It's that you may be struggling with some fundamental theory to begin with. And if I can help you out there, then I feel like I've really helped you out. Absolutely free in this podcast, right? Obviously, I'm not going to get a lot of new business that way, right? Because most of the people who are interested in this podcast are my peers and colleagues. They are not people who are going to hire me per se. So it is a project of passion. It's a project that I started to be helpful in an area where I don't think there's as much help as there probably should be. And I kind of feel like we have done that for the most part. After a while, you kind of start running out of topics that you haven't addressed when it comes to like fundamental core concepts and practices that are common in the Agile space. You just kind of run out of stuff. I mean, gosh, you just think of the sheer scope of things that we've talked about in the past, right? From nitty-gritty things like working retrospectives and good user stories. We talked about story points. We've talked about velocity. We've talked about Scrum. We've talked about Kanban. We've talked about agile project management. We've talked about MVPs. We've talked about all kinds of topics that people might be struggling with. And I got to be honest with you, as the content creator of this podcast, I'm starting to struggle a little bit with that intended purpose, because all I can really do is kind of revisit things, right? Or maybe address certain contentious discussions that are being had about those in the present day. I really don't want this podcast to turn into, I was reading LinkedIn today and bam, you know, which I kind of feel like it may be drifting into. Nor do I want the podcast to turn into a series of me critiquing things other people have said. I do think it was maybe valuable to do once or twice as an example of what's out there, but I don't want the podcast to turn into, you know, everybody's wrong but me, because that's not true. And that's not really why I wanted to do the podcast to begin with. So where do we go from here? Well, I'm not ready to quit the podcast, although that is certainly an option, right? We've been doing it a while. We've been doing it longer than a lot of podcasts that crop up in this space. So I sure wouldn't feel bad. I would kind of feel mission accomplished, actually. And maybe there would be another podcast in the future, or maybe not. So I wouldn't feel bad about that option, but I'm not really ready to do that just yet. So there's a couple of things that need to happen. One is, it's possible that there's some garden variety topics out there that have just escaped my notice. You know, although I as an individual do a lot of agile coaching and consulting, at Integrity Inspired Solutions, we build software. We are not an agile coaching agency. We are not an educational institution. We will not give you a certification that is real, although I'm happy to make you one. We build software. And we build software in the way that we build software, and the way we run teams, and the way we run projects. So things that may be going on in the larger galaxy of agile teams trying to do their thing, there may be things that have escaped my radar that we haven't done a show on yet. And I would be happy to do shows on that. So if you have suggestions, if you have things that you would like to see that we haven't talked about, whether they're contentious or whether they're not, maybe they're even just an edge case that has come up in your context, I would be happy to talk about those things. I still, in my heart, want to help people with these episodes. And if there's areas that I haven't helped people with, I would love to continue to do that. I just don't know what they are. It's an unknown unknown, right? So help me out if that's where we're at. But what I'm mostly thinking of is addressing these issues, but from a different perspective, from a different angle, because I still want to help people with regard to these issues, but I feel like I've said about everything I can say to Scrum Masters, project managers, etc. What I'm kind of thinking about, at least trying to see how it goes, is orienting the topics more from the standpoint of management, from people who have teams that want to be agile, and maybe don't always know what to make of it. Maybe they've struggled with the information they're getting out of their agile teams, or they have friction with their agile teams because the things their agile teams are doing are running counter to the way they think teams ought to operate or the way software development should be done. So I'm thinking of line managers. I'm thinking of like CIOs, CTOs, perhaps. Directors of operations, perhaps, tech leads, maybe, people who manage project portfolios. I'm kind of thinking of that level. You know, the people who you guys annoy on a regular basis, the people who we sometimes make fun of or say, you know, these people just don't get it. Maybe they just don't get it because they don't have a lot of resources helping them get it. And so I kind of want to try to do that. So we may be talking about similar topics. We may still talk about, you know, how do you do good forecasting from an agile perspective? How do good teams operate? We might talk about user stories and estimation techniques and their pros and cons. And, you know, we may be talking still about misconceptions and things like that. But I want to approach them from the perspective and standpoint of people who have to either run these teams, or these teams are in some form or fashion accountable to them. It's kind of maybe a black box to them, and what they've seen, maybe they don't really fully understand, and it seems weird, and there's contention there, perhaps. I would really like to speak into that, address that, and help that crowd out. To that end, I may have guests on here from time to time, but perhaps people in those positions, perhaps other Agile consultants who maybe have worked with people in those positions, maybe out of my own context, who might have unique views on some of these things. I think that might be cool. Maybe you know, I don't know. Send me a DM, send me an email. Let's see where that goes. But that's kind of what I'm thinking for the future. Now, some of you who have been longtime listeners who are my peers and my colleagues, or just think I have a funny voice and this just kind of gets you through your Mondays, I still think that there's a lot to be gained from listening to the podcast going forward, even though you yourself may not be a manager, because I work a lot with a lot of organizations at a lot of levels, and I understand the frustrations and misunderstandings that happen at this level, even at the product owner level. I mean, many of you who work on teams know sometimes your relationship with the product owner can be dysfunctional because of the way they understand their role or the way they execute it or the amount of time that they devote to it, right? I really want to help out the business layer of the whole Agile software development enterprise. And I think the information is useful to you because maybe you will see through their eyes. Maybe, you know, that manager who's just a pain in the neck because they keep asking you for status reports or they keep asking you for, you know, your estimated deadlines or whatever, maybe I can provide you tools to understand and communicate and cross that bridge. I've certainly worked with managers like that before and have all kinds of thoughts about how that group is seeing the issues. How do we see through their eyes, feel what they feel? And then how can we communicate things and meet them where they're at to help them come along with us so that we're rowing in the same boat? So even if you're not a manager, I still think that these episodes will have a lot of value for you because you're going to work with them and you're going to communicate with them. And I hope that those episodes will be helpful for you in that context. So that's just kind of what I wanted to talk about. That's just kind of where I'm at. All of this is subject to change. Like I said, this is not a marketing tool per se. It's not a lead gen tool per se. We sure don't have sales calls flooding in because of it. It's still very much a passion project that I have because I want to help people. I want to help you. And so that could change, right? My ideas could change on that. Or you may give me input that could change where this goes. But definitely if you do have input, let me know. I would be interested in hearing that because at the end of the day, I'm not doing this to hear myself talk. I'm not doing this to vent. I'm not doing this because I think I'm right about a wide variety of topics and nobody listens to me. So now I've got a microphone and here we go. I got podcast software. So guess what I'm doing? It's none of that. I want to produce valuable and useful content for the community. I would love to have your feedback on what that might look like. And I would love to hear what you think about the direction we may be trying to take things. So thank you for your patience for this episode. Thank you for sticking around to the end. That means you are really, really cool. And I will see you in the next episode. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Agile Bites. Agile does sometimes bite, but we don't think it always has to. If you enjoyed what you heard today, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you happen to be using. And if you can, leave us a comment because we'd love to hear your feedback. What things would you like to hear about? What things did you hear that were valuable to you today? You can also head over to integrityinspired.com to sign up to our email list. But that's all for today, folks. We'll see you next.